We're here on Daf Yudalid, and we're looking at the Tosfos Divrei Maschil Yomim. The last thing we mentioned was Reb Chaim's insight into the Gemara in Erech in Daf Yud. The Gemara asks, why is it that Hallel is recited on every day of Chag, meaning of Sukkos, including every single day of Chol HaMoed? We're talking about Hallel Sholem. Whereas on Pesach, we only recite Hallel on the first day, or in Chutzar, it's the first 2 days, but not during Chol HaMoed. And the Gemara answers, because on Sukkos we have Chiluk Karbonos. Every single day of Sukkos has a different set of Karbonos, a different number, Purim. Whereas on Pesach, it's the same Karbon every day. And Reb Chaim understood that the Kedushas HaYom of Pesach begins at the beginning of the Chag, of the beginning of Pesach, and continues non-stop in a uniform way, encompassing all of Pesach. The Kedushas HaYom of one day is not different than that of the previous day, or the succeeding day. Mashenke, but in the case of Sukkos, there every day is a new Chidush, a new Kiddush Sayom that emerges, a unique one on that day. And therefore every single day of Sukkos, insofar as it's endowed with its own unique individual Kiddush Sayom, engenders a Chiv Hallel. Mashen came Pesach, there's no new Kiddush Sayom to engender a Chiv Hallel. And based on this, Reb Chaim paskind halacha lemaisa, that if someone did not read Hallel on the first 2 days of Pesach, he would read Hallel Sholem on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Had he read Hallel on the first day, that would cover him for all of Pesach. But since he didn't read on the first day, he has not yet fulfilled the obligation of Hallel that was enchanted by the Kedushas HaYom of Pesach. Therefore, at the first occasion, whatever day of Chol HaMoed it might be, he will recite Hallel Sholem. Now, that's what we discussed last time. If you take a look at Tosfos inside, we want to continue with this long Tosfos. He says the following: Kosuv b'machzor vitri, kevan she'eino ela minag bi'alma lo mevarchinen alei. This opens up the whole discussion about Hallel b'dilug, which is recited on Rosh Chodesh, also on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Is there a bracha on this Hallel? And the machzor vitri begins by quoting his opinion, and many others who agree, that since Hallel on Rosh Chodesh Diluk is only a minug, we don't recite a bracha. Kidomer perek lulav ha-gozel, lulav ha-rova. The Gemara in Sukkah establishes, with regard to chibat ha-rova, there's no bracha because ein mevarchan al ha-minug. Umiru omer abenu tam, di eino raya. We can differentiate between the sugya in Sukkah of ha-rova, chibat ha-rova, and the case of Hallel. The atiltul vade lo mevarchinon. Rabbi Natam says that the case of Harav is merely tiltul. He sort of downgrades it to a lower level. Aval mitzvah pshita de mevarchim. However, in the case of Hallel, we have a mitzvah. It's not just tiltul bialma. And Rabbi Natam proves this. Dochazinon kol yontif sheni eino el minhaga umevarchin. Yontif sheni in Golias is a minig. The Gemara establishes in Beis of minig avosechem v'yedchem, and yet we make brachos, all the tefilos and the brachos on the mitzvahs. Why? Because those are mitzvahs, whereas our rava is different. So the machlokas here is that Machzor Vitri understands that our rava establishes a principle for all of minhagim, and there are no exceptions to the rule. Insofar as Hal Bedilug is a minog, it doesn't get a bracha, just like a rava doesn't get a bracha. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that a rava is the exception to the rule. That's only tiltul, but in general you do make a bracha on a minog because the minog engenders a mitzvah. Now, the Machzor Vitri in Siman Reish Chaf Zayin writes that Nagu Ha'om Levarich Barosh Chodesh Likros HaHalel, And then he says, Rabbeinu lo mevarech alav, v'heilcha tshuvasa. Sha'altem ala yachid ha'koriyas ha'halel b'yomim she'eno miyudches shel Torah. Im chov al atzibur levarach yivarach gam yachid, aval ani lo mevarech alav lo al atzibur v'lo b'yachid. L'fi she'eno el minag v'ein minag tzarech bracha, Kidaminin Shkil Chavit Chavit Velo Birech Kasavar Arav Minag Nevim Hilafichach Einu Mavarech Lav Asher Kitchar Mitzosu Vitzivanu. So a normal Birchas HaMitzvah with its Nusach Asher Kitchanu is omitted according to the Machzor Vitri with regard to Halil Mishum Minog Hal Bediluk, and that applies both to the Yachid and to the Tzibur. However, the Machzor Vitri adds, I have a bracha that is appropriate for Hallel. Baruch Ata Hashem, Hamuhulo Befiyam, Meshubach Far Beshire David Avdecha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mahulo Batish Bachos. And it sounds like, although the Machzor Vitri denies that Amiras Kriyas Hallel would warrant a classical Birchas HaMitzvah, insofar as it's only a minug, it doesn't warrant such a Birchas HaMitzvah, doesn't have the status of a mitzvah, but nevertheless, it is Hallel, it is Shevach V'Tishbachos, and therefore the bracha that is established on Psuki Zimra, the bracha for Shiros V'Tishbachos, is appropriate for Hallel, in any event. Now Rashi, in Sukkah, Daf Mem Dalin Omen Aleph, Divra Maschel Midag writes, Nafkemina de lo boi brocha de leka lemeir v'tzivonim, da afilu bichlal lo sasur leka. Rashi explains that the reason why we don't recite a brocha on a minug is because a minug is not included in the lav of lo sasur, and therefore we cannot recite v'tzivonu on a minug. What I want to point out, and this is very, very critical, is the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, when the Rambam describes the authority, the scope of the authority of Bezin HaGadol and the Lav of Lo Sasur, the Rambam includes Minhagim in his list. He says, Kol Misha Eino Ose Kahora Asam Over Belo Sasa Shenemer Lo Sasur Mikol Dove She Yagidu Lcha V'Echad Dvarim Shasom Siag LeTorah Umasha Shot Sricha, Veinagzeros, Veatakonos, Vehaminhagos. The Rambam has enumerated three categories here, which are all included under the authority of Bezdin and under the Lavlo Sasur, Gzeros, Takonos, and Minhagos. Now, oddly enough, the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Brachas paskins like Rashi that we don't recite a bracha on a minig based on the sugyan sukkah mem gimel, but yet the Rambam does, as opposed to Rashi, include minhagim in lo sasur. So Rashi says he can't say v'tzivanu on minhagim because there's no tzivu, it's not included on the lo sasur. The Rambam, on the other hand, includes Minhagos under Siyagim, under Lo Sasur, but yet, oddly enough, he leaves out the Bracha. So the question that we want to raise is, why does the Rambam omit a Bracha on a Minog, which he's explicit outspoken about at the end of Hilchos Brachas, and yet the Rambam does include Minhagim in Lo Sasur? It could be that the Rambam holds, like you say, that Lo Sasur is only a Lav. We're looking for an essay of Vitzivanu. Vitzivanu means in a positive essay. We don't have brachas on Himanus from Lavin. But first, let's mention the fact that the Rambam also includes under Lo Sasur Takonos and Gzeros, which means the Rabbanans. And the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvah Shorash Aleph has a list of questions that he pounces upon this Rambam. He says, if you're going to tell me that every Takonah Drabon is included under the Lav Lo Sasur, then what does it mean when we say Safek Drabon Lekula? Every Safek Drabon is essentially a Safek Doraisa because maybe you're violating Lo Sasur. And therefore the Ramban himself interprets the Lav of Lo Sasur as specifically relating to Zaken Mamre. The Ramban's language is very clear. He says, "Ein alav hazel lo sasur el b'mashavru b'feirushei haTorah Biyugimol midos shatar nidreshes behen. O bameshi kiblu halach lamoshe misinai. She im yir lehem she dover ze mutar osim in a tor v'yiru a hefe chayv levatel daito lahamin b'mesha omru heim v'ya over al divri bezna godol v'somech al daito over al esse v'al los ase v'a over al v'somech al daito k'mo she skimu is nase zokin man aval atakonus v'ag zeros she gozru chachomil mishmer sa torah ein bahem ein lehem b'lav hazeh el esmach b'alma V'ein bohem din hamra klal. The Ramban says that clearly this pasuk of Losos is a reference to a zokin mamre who rebels against the Bezna Gadol, refused to accept the authority of Bezna Gadol when they hand down a verdict based on Yud Gimel Midos, based on Halacha Moshe Misinai, their drashos, that they were makabel, and they say it's mutter, he refused, he says zoso, the other way around. And if he doesn't, if he's not mevatel daito to accept the authority, the Bezna Gadol, he becomes a zokin mamre, he violates lo sosur. But takanos and gzeros, which were instituted by the chachamim lemishmeres haTorah, are not included in this lav. And for example, a zokin mamre who undermines the authority of and challenges the authority of chachamim in halacha lemoshe misinai, or in a drasha, midrasha sator, shekiblu, etc., etc., that would not apply if he argues with the chachamim on a takana or a gzera. The Rambam, on the other hand, includes gzeros, takanos, in the lav of losasur. What does that mean? Now, for example, a person violates an isur drabanan, a takana, a gzera drabanan. Let's say, for example, he eats basar b'cholov, which were not cooked together. Or basar of b'cholov, which is only drabbanan. Would he therefore get malchus for the lav of losasur? Has he violated losasur? Is that what the Rama means when he classifies takonos and gzeros included and includes them under losasur? So the Rav Zichron Levracha said, no, you have to define the Rambam Sheet a little bit differently. We're talking about a person, not who violates the Rabbanon, he eats Basar B'cholov, but rather we're talking about a person who has made a deliberate decision to, Lahach is what we say, to violate the Takonis Rabbanon because he's not interested in that Takonis Rabbanon. It's not an avera l'teyavon. You know, he wants to eat basar b'cholov, or he falls. No, we're talking about someone who calculated, deliberately decides he's not interested in the drabbanans. And even though it's only takana drabbanan, nevertheless, he violates the lav lo sasur, whereas the Ramban will limit the lav lo sasur to the cases in which a zokin mamre is chayev, and maybe limited, according to Ramban, only to a Zokin Mamre. Not everyone can be Zochin to be called a Zokin Mamre. You have to have credentials to be a Zokin Mamre. The Rambam, on the other hand, holds that any Mumar Lahachis, as far as Isuri Drabon is concerned, because he scoffs and he rejects the authority of the Chacham, he's not interested in Isuri Drabon. And such a person who makes that deliberate rebellion against the Chacham, even though it's only on Isuri Drabon, has violated Lo Sosur. And the Lav itself is not primarily in the Maisa Vera that he violates Drabon, the eating of the Basar B'cholov. It's the Mumris, it's the rebellion in which he rejects the authority of the Bezna Gadol, who instituted these takonos. If insofar as that rebellion is a hamra against the schora, the authority of the chacham, he violates the lav lo sasur. He's not a zokin mamre, because zokin mamre only applies to certain specific categories of rebellion against the halacha moshe misinai, etc. But nevertheless, he violates lo sasur. And therefore, when you're talking about someone who has a suffix derabbanon, whether he doesn't know if he's violating an issur derabbanon at all, there's no element of mumris here, and therefore there's no chashash, no possibility that he'll violate the lav lo sasur, and therefore there's a clear-cut distinction here between a suffix deraisa lechumra and a suffix derabbanon lekula. And in that sense, the Rambam adds minhagim into his list. And there's no reason to differentiate, according to the Rambam, between a takana and a gzera on the one hand and a minhag on the other. They're all included in Lo Sasur, because the Rambam understands that a minhag is instituted by Bezna Gadol. They kovei the minhag. And that is Bezna Gadol flexing their muscle of authority to institute minhagim. And if someone rebels against the authority of Beis Din to institute a minhag, then the Rambam says he violates the law of Lo Sasur. So it matters not whether he rebels against the takana, rebels against the minhag. It's the identical rebellion against the power and the authority of the Beis Din Gadol, and if he violates Lo Sasur. But the law of Lo Sasur is not what engenders the obligation to observe the minhagim. The obligation to observe the minhagim is based on the fact that the Beis Din Gadol instituted these minhagim, and we have to accept their authority. And therefore, when we talk about the chova, the nature of the obligation to implement and observe the minhagim, it's a weaker one than with regard to takanos. The Rambam doesn't deny that there is a strata here. There's a pyramid, and on that pyramid, a takana is much more severe and binding than a minhag. Although both of them are established by Beis Din, but when Beis Din makes takana, that's different. That's fundamentally different than a minhag. A takana is when they absolutely command the people. And you could say vitzivanu. But in the case of a minhag, Beis Din is not saying this is an absolute sivui. Beis Din is asking the people to accept a minhag because of their authority. They think it's a good idea to accept a minhag. But it doesn't have the status of a chiv of a takana. It has a status of a chiv of a minhag. And that's not enough to justify a bracha. And therefore the Rambam, although he holds that if someone would rebel against Beis Din with regard to minhagim, he would violate Lo Sasur, nevertheless, as far as a bracha is concerned, a minhag doesn't have that level of chiyuv, of chova, to engender a bracha of vitzivan. Perhaps we could shed a light on the Rambam Shita and further embellish our understanding by asking the following question. This is a fundamental chakira. When we talk about mitzvahs, we always divide the mitzvah into two parts. One part is the chovas hagavra, and the other part is the kiyum mitzvah. And when we discuss birchas mitzvahs, we always have to raise this question. Was the bracha established on the chovas ha-mitzvah, vitzivanu literally, or on the kiyum ha-mitzvah? For example, let's say we have a rishus. Take, for example, the case of a woman who is exempt from a mitzvah seishas mein groma. For her, it's nothing more than a rishus. If she decides that she voluntarily would like to implement the mitzvah, would she make a bracha? A kiyum ha-mitzvah she has. A chovas kavra she doesn't have. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis is famous for saying that a woman does not recite a bracha on a mitzvah seishas man groma like tzitzis if she volunteers to put on tzitzis. And the reason for that is because the Rambam holds that brachas were established on the chovas gavra, not on the kiyum mitzvah. And in that context, we can really appreciate the Rambam's distinction between a takana and a minhag as far as birchas ha-mitzvah is concerned. A takana has the status of a chovas gavra, complete, total chiyuv gomor, and therefore deserves a bracha. Minhag, on the other hand, is not a complete chovas gavra, and therefore there's no bracha. And within the context of the Rambam Shita, we could even go a step further, and we could say that whereas mitzvahs like Chanukah and Mikra Megillah engender an absolute chovah on this maisa mitzvah, minhagim is something different. Minhagim means that a person shouldn't be porish min hatzibur. He should not be different. The tzibur accepted this minhag, he should be part of that tzibur. But it's not a chovah on this particular maisa. It's just don't be different and separate yourself from the tzibur. When it comes to chiyuv bracha, bishlem you have a takana derabbanan chiyuv mitzvah like ner Chanukah, mikra Megillah, that justifies a bracha because we're talking about a real chova, complete, absolute chovas mitzvah. In the case of a minog, just not to be porish menat tzibur, that's already a little different. The Brisker Rav, by the way, was of the opinion that a minog doesn't have the status of a cheftz shomaisa mitzvah. In any event, the Rambam, therefore, is justified in saying that for minog we don't make a bracha. And you can compare it to the case of women with regard to mitzvah seishasman grama. Even though a woman obtains a kiyum, but nevertheless, since she doesn't have the chova, she doesn't recite the bracha. That's not true with regard to takanos derabanan. There we have an absolute chiyuv. And what we said about the lav of lo sasa is not relevant to this discussion, because what the Rama means by including minhagos in the lav of lo sasa, that's only mumris. That's only a person who rebels against the authority, and he's deliberate about that. And in that context, the Rambam is not willing to accept any differentiation between a takon and a minna. But as far as the chalos, chova, the nature of the chova, the chova in the case of a takona is much stronger. It's a complete chova in contrast to that of a minna. Not only that, if we read the Rambam carefully at the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, it's not clear that the Rambam would include every single minhag in the lav of included in the lav of los sos. The Rambam writes, "Echad advarim shasum siag l'torah l'fi ma shashot tzricho min agzeros v'atakonos v'minhagos." Perhaps the Rambam is talking about those minhagim which are a siag l'torah, meaning the Rambam starts with a general heading of Asom Siag L'Torah, and amongst the general category of Siag, the Rambam has three tributaries, three subcategories, three toldos. He's got Gzeros, Takonos, and Minhagos. When do you violate a Minog? When do you violate Losos for a Minog? That's only if you violate a Minog, which is established as a Siag. For example, the case of Arava, Chibud Arava. There's no element here of siag. It's a mitzvah midivrei neviim, a minog neviim of chibut arava. The Ram could agree to Rashi that there's no lav of losos in the case of arava, and therefore, if you ask the Ram the question, why don't we make a bracha on a minog? The answer is, we're talking about a minig of a mitzvah. A minig of a mitzvah is not included, even according to the Rambam, in losos, because a minig of a mitzvah, although it is a minog, it's not a siag. And if it's not a siag, it's not included in the lav of lo sasur. And it makes sense that lo sasur should apply to a minog, which is a siag, because the Torah basically endowed the chachamim with the authority and the incumbent responsibility on the shoulders of the chachamim v'asu siag l'Torah is to create fences and guards to prevent us from violating the Torah. And here the Torah gets very strict and harsh and demanding lo sasur mikol sheyerucha, to follow and accept the authority of the chachamim and implement all their siyagos. That doesn't necessarily have any implication or application to the case of a mitzvah mishum minog like chibut arava, and therefore there should be no bracha on a minog. In any event, it comes out that with regard to halel on Rosh Chodesh, which is only Mishum Minog Avosechem B'Yedchem, we could argue that the Rashi and the Rambam and the Maksav Vitri and all those would omit a bracha because of the principle of Ein Mevarachem Al HaMinog. And then we get to the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam says that we're all building so much on the Sugya and Sukkah with regard to Chibud Arava, that there's no bracha on Chibud Arava because it's a minog. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, he brushes it off. Don't prove anything from Chibud Arava, that's only tiltil the alma. And Rabbeinu Tam proves that there is a bracha on a minog in general when it's not tiltil the alma like Arava, from the case of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. Yontif Sheni Shel Golios is a minog, and yet we recite brachos. So Rabbeinu Tam is making a fundamental distinction between two categories of minhagim. Number one, the minhag of Tiltal Arava, that doesn't deserve a bracha, as opposed to the minhagim of Yontif Sheni Shel Golius, that does deserve a bracha. And Rabbeinu Tam continues by classifying Hal on Rosh Chodesh, even though it's a minhag, as belonging to the second category, that of Yontif Sheni, and it deserves a bracha. What is this all about? Why is Halel on Rosh Chodesh similar to Yontif Sheni and not similar to Arava? And perhaps we could suggest that the Rambam, that the Rabbeinu Tam, as opposed to the Rambam, assumes that a Birchas HaMitzvah is established not on the Chovas Gavra, but rather on the Kiyuv HaMitzvah, even without a Chiyuv. And in fact, Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Gimel quotes Rabbeinu Tam with regard to Noshim. Noshim Mevarchos al Mitzvah Seishman Grom, according to Rabbeinu Tam. You see clearly that Rabbeinu Tam maintains that Birchas HaMitzvah was established on the Kiyum HaMitzvah, and even though women did not share the Chiyuv and the Chovas Gavra in the Mitzvah Seishman Grom, nevertheless, they obtain a Kiyum, and therefore they can make a Bracha. And if that be the case, when we speak about Hallel, let's take, for example, Tosfos holds that in the Beis HaMikdash, they would recite Hal Shalem on Rosh Chodesh. And that surely is the Shita of the Ramban as well. And they would recite a Bracha. And the reason is because Hal in Mikdash is a mitzvah min HaTorah, it's a Kiyum Shira. The minhag to recite Hal in Gvulin, even outside the Beis HaMikdash, although it's only a minhag, but that minhag is capable of engendering a Kiyum Mitzvah even outside the Mikdash, albeit on a level of Minhag, but nevertheless there is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. The same Shira that we fulfill in the Beis HaMikdash, we can fulfill outside the Beis HaMikdash as a result of this Minhag. The Minhag is taking the Shira in Mikdash and extending it and expanding it outside the walls and the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, just as Hallel in Mikdash obtains a Kiyum HaMitzvah, a Mitzvah Shira, so too Hal in Gvulin obtains a Kiyum of Shira. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam justifies a bracha on Halel on Rosh Chodesh outside the Mikdash in Gvulin because the bracha is related to the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Shira. However, in the case of Tiltal Arava, there Rabbeinu Tam argues that there's no Kiyum HaMitzvah at all. It's purely a minhag, and we don't find that Tiltal Arava should be upgraded to the status of some sort of Chal Shem Maisa Mitzvah, Kima Mitzvah at all. Even in the Mikdash, it was not a Takon of a Mitzvah, but it was a Minhag. So here, with regard to Chibud Arava, there's no difference between inside the Mikdash or outside the Mikdash. It's all a Minhag Nevi'im. And therefore there's no bracha because we're not talking about a bona fide, full-fledged Kima Mitzvah. Although Rabbeinu Tam waives the requirement of a Chovas Gavra with regard to mitzvahs, Berchas HaMitzvahs, but nevertheless, he still admits that we require a Kiyum HaMitzvah. And there's got to be a Kiyum HaMitzvah somewhere at some time, which the Rabbanan could extend through Minhag to other times and other places. And that's exactly what happens with Hal on Rosh Chodesh. There's a Kiyum Shira in Mikdash with Hal Shalem on Rosh Chodesh. But in the case of Chibud Arava, we don't have a similar kind of corresponding structure in which there is a Kiyum of Tiltal or Chibud Arava in Mikdash. Now, Tosfos in Sukkah quotes the same Rabbeinu Tam, but adds a very, very important point, throws in here another element into the equation. He writes that Rabbeinu Tam Omer de ein raya me Arava lahal, da Arava ein el Tiltal, v'kem de lav takonehi, came into lav takantehi el min haga lo chashiv le mikvah le bracha aval kriyas halel lo gora mikore batora. This is a whole new element that we haven't seen in Rabbeinu Tam, namely that the reason why there's a bracha on Hal on Rosh Chodesh is because kriyas halel is not worse than kore batora, which means that Rabbeinu Tam understands that the reason why we can justify a bracha on the minhag of Hal on Rosh Chodesh, even though there's no Chovas Gavra, is for an entirely different reason. Not the way we said it is because the Kiyum Shira and the bracha is established on the Kiyum, but rather because there's a Kiyum Mitzvah Doraisa of Kriyas Kisvei HaKodesh. All the chapters that we read from Tehillim in Hallel, the Makeup Hallel, all chapters in the 24 books of the Holy Writ, in Kisvei HaKodesh, in Sefer Tilim of Ksuvim, and there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyas Kisvei HaKodesh. In contrast, Arava has no chalos shem kiyum mitzvah d'oraisa. It's all minug, pure minug from A to Z, from beginning to end. It's a minug v'alma. And on a minug, we don't make a bracha. That's Rabbeinu Tam's argument. Now, it's very interesting that the Amir of Halon Rosh Chodesh as a kiyum of Kriyas Kisvei HaKodesh, Psukim in Kriyas HaKodesh, if you go back to the Machzor Vitri that we mentioned before in the name of Rashi, Rashi did not want to recite a bracha of Asher Kitshon Mitzosu V'tzivonu Likros HaHalel, but rather Rashi would accept a bracha on the Shevach of Baruch Melech HaMahula B'Tishpachos, the bracha that we use for Baruch Shamar. And if you'd ask yourself, why would Rashi accept that bracha with regard to Halel? The answer is that Rashi would agree that just like in Psukim Zimra, Baruch Shamar, we recite a bracha because we read Psukim in Kisvei HaKodesh, so too Amiras Hal Rosh Chodesh is also Chalos Kiyum of Kriyas Psukim Kriyas Kisvei HaKodesh, and therefore belongs to bracha. However, there's a contrast between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, whereas Rashi sees Hallel on Rosh Chodesh as a kiyum of Kriyas Psukim, no different than Psukim Zimra, therefore the bracha Psukim Zimra is appropriate for Hallel. Rabbeinu Tam would jack up the mitzvah of Kriyas Psukim and Kisvei HaKodesh in the case of Hallel to a special kiyum, a separate kiyum of Shira. It's not just Kriyas Psukim, and therefore it deserves a bracha. However, I'm not sure whether or not we have to go that route. It could be that when Rabbeinu Tam justifies the bracha on Kriyas Hal Rosh Chodesh, he's doing so not b'toras kiyum shira, which is definitely the approach that we took until now, but maybe perhaps b'toras kiyum kriya b'sukim and kisvei HaKodesh. And in fact, we find on many occasions we do recite a bracha on Kriyas Psukim in the Torah, whether it's Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, or whether it's Halel in general, even a Halel Sholem, Kriyas HaMegillah. We have many occasions, and according to the Gaon, on every Megillah that we read of the five Megillahs, we recite a bracha. Is Rabbeinu Tam is just using the Kiyum Kriyas Ksuvim to establish and prove that there is a bracha that's relevant to Halel, Chatzi Halel and Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed. And if you take a look at Tosfos in Sukkah, he says in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that the bracha on Halel and Rosh Chodesh is Logar Mikriyas HaTorah, but compare that to the Ravid, for example, at the end of Hilchos Brachos, he has a different definition. He says that the reason why we recite a bracha on Halel and Rosh Chodesh is because kidei lefarsim moshu Rosh Chodesh. That's a whole different take. Not because of the Kriyas HaTorah that Rabbeinu Tam emphasizes. According to the Ravid, there's some sort of element in Halel, in Amiris Halel on Rosh Chodesh of Pirsum, which Pearson would sound like he's establishing that there is a Kedushas Hayom over here. Now, I don't know if there's a Kedushas Hayom to Rosh Chodesh. That would be very difficult to maintain. Although, I have to admit, I was always baffled by the Nusach HaBrocha. At the end of the Brocha Emtsoyus on Rosh Chodesh of Musim, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Kadesh Yisrael V'Rashi Chodoshim. Now, if you recited that in the Beis HaMikdash, where they brought a carbon on Rosh Chodesh, Nicha, maybe, Tena. But you're talking about reciting that bracha, Makadish Yisrael, V'Rashi Chadashim, outside the Mikdash in Gvulin, I don't know. Is it possible that the Ravid wants to establish Lefarsim of Rosh Chodesh, some sort of Kiddush and sanctification of Rosh Chodesh, even Bizman Hazen, even B'Gvulin? That's pretty far out, but something that I think deserves our attention. In any event, our minig to make a bracha on Hal on Rosh Chodesh could be a reflection of the distinction between Arava and Halel. Arava, again, has no element of Kriya v'psukim, no kiyum of Kisrei Kodesh or Shevach v'odaya in the Tila. Kriya Sahalel, we already find, is something that's related to Shevach, to Hodah. And, for example, in the Migdash, at the time of the Karban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, they read Halel, and that was a reflection of the Kedushas Hayom and the Karban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. There was a bracha, and now outside of the Mikdash, based on this minog, there's reason and justification for a bracha because of this kium of Shevach and Hodaya, or as Rabbeinu Tam would formulate it, the kium of Kriyas Psukim of Kisvei HaKodesh. So, for example, in the Ravitz frame of reference, we might emphasize either the concept of Kedush Sayom per se, Kedei Lefars Moshe Rosh Chodesh, or alternatively emphasize that Halel in Migdash has a Kiyum Shira and Odah, and therefore outside of Migdash likewise, and on that we justify Bracha. Or if you take Rabbeinu Tam's approach, the way Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam in Sukkah, it's Logara Mikriyas HaTorah, and the Kiyum is Kiyum of Kriyas Kisvei HaKodesh of Ksuvim. So whereas the Ravitz seems to be emphasizing Halel and Rosh Chodesh as a Maisa Shevach Vodoya, the Rabbeinu Tam is emphasizing Halel and Rosh Chodesh as a Kiyum of Kriya B'Kisvei HaKodesh. The Ran, in fact, in Sukkah says, in Higu Lomar Halel Mishum Shvacho Shel Makom, he certainly is taking the approach of the Ravitz at the end of Vilchus Brachas. However, Tosfos seems to assume, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's Kriya B'Kisvei HaKodesh. As far as Halel Sholem is concerned, nobody denies that Halel Sholem is a kiyum and an entity of Shira, of Shira and Hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Heft of Shira unto itself. It certainly requires a bracha. And we're not talking here about psukim, reading psukim. That's not Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam in Halel on Rosh Chodesh B'Dilug, that's where he introduces the Kriya B'Ksuvim. But with regard to Halel Sholem, Gomer Sahalel on Yontif, or any of the 18 days that are listed on Chutzot 21, there we have a Tzuris Halel, we have a Kiyum of a Hefta of Shira and Hodah. But in the case of Chatzi Al Bedilug, we're lacking that Tzura of Halel as a Hefta Shel Shira. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam is compelled to introduce the concept of Kriya B'Psukim of Kisvei HaKodesh. It's a kind of a Kriya HaTorah. The Ravid, on the other hand, understands that even though Chatzi Halel is lacking the complete form of Halel Sholem as a Chatzi Shel Shira, but nevertheless, it does have a Halel Shem Shira as well. And this could all have an impact on the Chiddush of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, as far as Rosh Chodesh is concerned, in Siman Tav Chav Beis, addresses the following question. A person comes late to shul, and the tzibur is reciting Halel. He's holding by Pesukim Zimra. And what should he do? Should he take a pause, interrupt his recitation of Pesukim Zimra, even though he's in the middle of the bracha? You know, Pesukim HaZimra is sandwiched between an opening brach and a closing brach. Nevertheless, he should take a break and interrupt his Pesukim HaZimra for the sake of Halel. And the reason why the Magen Avraham says he should do so, he says because Birchas Baruch Shomar Poteres Es HaBrocha Rishona De Halel. In other words, instead of reciting a bracha on Kriyas HaHalel, the bracha that he recited on Pesukim HaZimra suffices to cover his Halel. Now this is very fascinating because we've seen echoes of this kind of svara of the Magen Avraham in the Machzor Vitri, that Halel on Rosh Chodesh deserves the kind of a bracha that we recite on Pesukim HaZimra. the Rav Zichron Vracha told us that his Zayda, Reb Chaim Brisker, was not happy with this psak of the Magen Avraham. And the reason for that is because, as Reb Chaim argued, the essence of Psukim Zimra, the very heft of that mitzvah, is Kriyas Psukim Psuke Ksuvim. And that's why it's called Psukim. It's the reading of the Psukim. It's really just reciting Tehillim. It's Divrei Torah. And that's what you see in the Rambam in Perek Zayin Milchus Tefilah. The Rambam says, V'shibchu chachom lo mishakorei zmiros mi sefer Tehillim b'chol yom mi tilu David asof ha-sefer k'vanogu likros psukim lifneyem ulachreyem v'tiknu bracha lifnei ha-zmiros v'hi baruch shomar u'bracha lachreyem v'hu yishtabach. The Rambam seems to emphasize here over and over again that we're talking about Kriya. We're talking about Sefer Tehillim. And you can add Psukim before or after. In the case of Hallel, Reb Chaim argued, we're talking about a Heftz of Shira. We're talking about Shevach. And insofar as Hallel sets itself up as a different cue, in contrast to Psukim Zimra, the Bracha Psukim Zimra is not relevant to Hallel. Now, it seems to me, according to my limited understanding, that Reb Chaim and his logic would be perfectly compelling if the Magen Avraham were discussing Hallel Shalem. Hallel Shalem certainly, without a doubt, would require its own Bracha, and the Bracha of Psukim Zimra would not suffice, because as Reb Chaim understood it, Psukim Zimra is a kiyum of Kriyas Psukim, whereas Hallel is a Heftz Shel Shira. But keep in mind that the Magen Avraham is addressing a different scenario, and that is Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, as we said, according to Rabbi Tam, is a kiyum of Kriyas Psukim, and therefore it's very similar to Psukim Zimra. It makes sense, therefore, that the Magen Avraham would conclude that the bracha that he recited on Psukim Zimra at the beginning of Baruch Shamar would exempt him, would cover the bracha of Chatzi Hallel. Because, at least in the case of Chatzi Hallel, as Rabbeinu Tam sees it, the kiyum is a kiyum like Psukim Zimra of Kriyas Psukim in Tehillim. And therefore, that bracha could suffice. It could be that Rabbeinu Tam understood that although both Psukim Zimra and Hallel Bedilug on Rosh Chodesh both form express a kiyum of Kriyas Psukim in Tanakh, nevertheless, lechatchila we have two separate brachas that were established. And that is because the Kriyas Psukim in the case of Hallel and Rosh Chodesh takes on the form of a real bona fide kiyum of Kriya Psukim, and it requires its own bracha as such. Psukim Zimra is not a bona fide mitzvah of Kriyas Ksuvim as a kiyum, but rather a Kriyas Psukim greater. And it deserves a different kind of a bracha. But certainly the bracha on Psukim Zimra is relevant and very closely aligned to the bracha on Hallel Bedilug on Rosh Chodesh, because in both cases we're talking about Kriyas Psukim in Ksuvim until it. So Reb Chaim's logic is absolutely compelling with regard to Hallel Sholem, which obviously engenders a kiyum of Shira and Shevach as an independent entity, and therefore the kiyum of Kriyas Psukim of Psukim Zimra and the bracha thereof is not relevant to Hallel. I'm talking about Hallel Sholem. But nevertheless, one could argue that the Magen Avraham in his context is absolutely correct, even according to Reb Chaim's logic, because with regard to Hallel Bedilug, we're talking about a kiyum of Kriyas Psukim, which is in fact, as Tosfos quotes from Beit HaTam, the reason to justify the bracha on Chatzi Hallel. Now, we mentioned the Magen Avraham here in Tav Chav Beis. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber himself in the same Siman, who quotes a Shita that the meaning of Chatzi Hallel is Bein B'yachid U'Bein B'tzibur, but yet the bracha is only on Hallel B'tzibur. Now, that's a Pella. If you're telling me that the minig of Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh engenders a, or is applicable to both the Yochid and the Tzibur, not just to the Tzibur, then once you've agreed that the Tzibur recites a bracha, why distinguish, why are you prejudiced against the Yochid? Why shouldn't the Yochid recite the bracha? That's a difficult question. And although technically it's difficult to superimpose Rabbeinu Tam's logic into the Shulchan Aruch, because I don't know that the Shulchan Aruch accepted Rabbeinu Tam, but if the Shulchan Aruch quotes an opinion that as far as the Minig of Chatzihal and Rosh Chodesh, we should differentiate between Yochid and Tzibur, the Tzibur deserves a bracha, and the Yochid not, perhaps we could say that this Shita reflects the element of Rabbeinu Tam, namely that the bracha of Hal on Rosh Chodesh is justified because of Kriyas Psukim and Kisvei HaKodesh, and we could say that therefore when we read Psukim and Kisvei HaKodesh publicly, like in Kriyas HaTorah, or for example the case of Megillah reading, or any of the five Megillahs as we mentioned according to the Gra, the Tzibur element, the Kiyum Tzibur of reading Psukim in Tanakh, in Kisvei HaKodesh, that justifies a bracha. In other words, if Rabbeinu Tam understands that the bracha of Hal of Chatzi Hallel is engendered by the kiyum of Kriyas Psukim of Kisvei HaKodesh, we might insist on the condition that there be a tzibur, because we only find a precedent for a bracha on Kriyas Psukim in Tanakh with regard to the tzibur. Obviously, a Yochid who's reading Psukim in Tanakh would recite Birchas HaTorah, but not a separate Birchas HaMitzvah insofar as he is fulfilling Kriyas Psukim of Kisvei HaKodesh. That Kiyum does not engender a bracha. We only find a precedent for such a bracha with regard to Kriya Mitzibur. Although one has to admit that this explanation is a little bit weak, because if we're basing ourselves on the precedent of Kriya B'Tzibur, we only find Kriya B'Tzibur from a Sefer. You can't just, start reading Psukim and if I take out a Tanakh and reading Psukim, make a bracha on it. Kriya Satorah, Kriya Samegillah requires a klaf. And even the Gaon who insists on a bracha on Chamesh Megillos, on the various respective Yom Tovim, he's talking about Kriya Mitoch HaKsav, Mitoch HaSefer, with the Kedusha Sefer Torah, and it's written on klaf in Ashuris, and it's written and it's read Bitzibur, that engenders a bracha. But Hallel, even if it's recited Bitzibur, is only from a sinner, I don't know that you can justify a bracha for that Kiyum Tzibur of Kriyas Psukim of Kisvei HaKodesh. But perhaps we should take a different approach in understanding the Shita quoted in the Mechaber, that Hallel on Rosh Chodesh deserves a bracha only B'tzibur, were based on the Ravid Dafka. It was the Ravid who justified the bracha on Hallel B'dilag on Rosh Chodesh based on the Kiyum Shira and Shevach. And in the light of the Ravid, we could say that the Tzibur, when the Tzibur as a whole, as a community, as an entity, fulfills the Hallel of Shira and Shevach, that takes on a whole new meaning. Beis Yisrael Baruch Hashem, the Kiyum of Hallel B'Tzibur is a separate Kiyum that is, shall I say, by leaps and bounds, essentially, qualitatively greater than the Kiyum of a Yochid who recites Shevach V'Hodoya. And one of the expressions of this difference between the Yochid and the Tzibur with regard to Shira v'Shevach is the halacha of Aniyah. And that is that when the Tzibur is reciting Hallel, there's got to be a Kriya and an Aniyah, right? The Tzibur will respond, this responsive reading, that enhances the Halosh Shira by giving it this element of Kriya v'Aniyah. And that special Kiyum of the Tzibur of Kriya v'Aniyah, which upgrades the Hallel to a unique status, a unique high level, that's what justifies the bracha. Whereas a Yochid who is reciting Hallel, although he may have some level of Shira, but that Kiyum is not the level of a Shira V'Tzibur, it's totally devoid of Kriya V'Aniyah. And in fact, the Magen Avraham, in the same Siman Tav Chav Beis, says that even according to the Man D'Omer, who says that a Yochid does not recite a bracha on Chatzi Hallel B'Rosh Chodesh, but nevertheless, if he has three people reciting it together, that's already considered Rabim, and they can make the bracha because the Ramaz of the opinion that Sibur here in the context of Halil means Kriya Vaniya, and three people together can fulfill and implement the Kriya Vaniya and justify the bracha. Now, in the case of Chatzi Halil on Chol HaMoed Pesach, we find a machlokes between the Ravid and the Ramban. According to the Ramban, in the case of Chol HaMoed Pesach, we will recite a bracha, not a Rosh Chodesh, according to the Ramban. But oddly enough, the Ravid has it in the reverse order, whereas the Ravid is willing to justify a bracha on Halil and Rosh Chodesh, he's not going to accept a bracha on Halil on Chol HaMoed Pesach. And the Rav Zichron Avraham had a very interesting take on the Ramban, in which he claims that since the holiday of Pesach is obviously endowed with Kedushas HaYom, when we extend that Halel of Kedushas HaYom to the days of Chol HaMoed, we can justify a bracha. In other words, the kiyum of Simcha through Halel that we spoke about last time in the Ramban's frame of reference applies on a Moed, and that can be extended throughout the entire Moed based on this Minog, and the fulfillment of a kiyum Simcha which applies throughout the entire Yontif, and that Minog to recite Halel as a kiyum Mitzvah Simcha will justify a bracha. However, the Ramban is certainly of the opinion that Rosh Chodesh outside the Beis HaMikdash has no Kedushas HaYom, there's always a Melacha or the like, and the Karban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is limited to the walls, the bounds of the Beis HaMikdash, not beyond. Therefore, there's no Kiyum Simcha for the Moed, so to speak, for the Kedushas HaYom of Chol HaMoed, because Chol HaMoed is completely devoid, I'm sorry, for Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh is completely devoid of a Kedushas HaYom. The Ravid, on the other hand, says Pukfaker, just the reverse is true. We're going to make a bracha on Chatzi Halil and Rosh Chodesh. And the reason for that is Pirsum, because we want to achieve a Kviyus HaChodesh. HaChodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, that mitzvah which was back in the day fulfilled by the Beis HaGadol is today fulfilled by Klal Yisrael in many different ways, one of which is the recitation of Halil. And in reciting Halil, we are basically being Koveh the Chodesh. That's what the Ravid calls Pirsum Shu Rosh Chodesh. However, this has no application to Chol HaMoed in the case of Pesach. But nevertheless, it's although the Ravid does go on record as saying Kedei Lefarsimo, when the Ravid gets down to brass tacks and he justifies the bracha on Halil B'dilug Rosh Chodesh, he says because of Shira V'Shevach, of Yom Mekudoshim. He doesn't say because of Kedei Lefarsimo to establish the Kedushas HaYom. And the only way we could sort of integrate and reconcile the ratio of the Ravid with the Sefer is by suggesting that the obligation to be Noeg, the Kedushas HaYom, is fulfilled through Shira V'Shevach. So that Halil on Rosh Chodesh has a, although it has a single function and its objective, its goal, is to create a Heker of Kedushas HaYom, but nevertheless, the only way of doing that is by implementing an act of Shira V'Shevach. In other words, any day that has Kedushas HaYom, that Kedusha engenders a Chiyuv Shevach and Shira. And what we have to do in order to sanctify the day of Rosh Chodesh is we have to treat it as if it had Kedushas HaYom, which engenders a Chiyuv of Shira V'Shevach. So the Halel, according to the Ravid, is a fulfillment of Pirsum, meaning to establish the day as Rosh Chodesh. But what we're doing is we're borrowing from the, shall we say, the universal halach of Kedushas HaYom and the Chiyuv Shir V'Shevach, and superimposing that on Rosh Chodesh, and we're saying that the Kviyus Rosh Chodesh as a day that's Mekudesh B'Toras Rosh Chodesh is established in our time, lacking the Beis HaGadol, through the Kiyum of Kedushas HaYom in a general sense, which is Shevach and Shira. Tosfos goes on to say that the proof that Rabbi Tam has that we can be Mevarech on Halil and Rosh Chodesh as a Minog from Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius is a very difficult proof. The analogy between the minig of Hal and Rosh Chodesh and the minig of Yontif Sheni is very difficult. Because in the case of Yontif Sheni, the minhagim are clearly designed to engender a Kedusha Yom of Yontif to Yontif Sheni. And therefore the Chiv Mitzvah of that day, insofar as it's sanctified the Kedusha Yom, is something that justifies the bracha. But Hal and Rosh Chodesh is the Chiyuv, is not anything beyond a minhag. It doesn't have a power to engender a Kedushas Hayom, and therefore there should be no bracha. So Bishlam, according to the Ravid sheet, that we could say that Hal and Rosh Chodesh is geared and designed to engender a Kedushas Hayom. Rabbeinu Tam seems to leave that out. It doesn't belong, it's not on his radar screen. He's talking about Hal and Rosh Chodesh in an entirely different context. And the justification for the bracha is not based on Kedush Sayom whatsoever. And we would put Rabbeinu Tam in that sense in the camp of the Ramban, that Rosh Chodesh is completely devoid of any vestige of Kedush Sayom. Then what right does Rabbeinu Tam have to create this analogy between the bracha on Yontif Sheni Shel Golius and the bracha on Hal and Rosh Chodesh? Because whereas Yontif Sheni has Kedusha Yom, and that engenders a Chiyuv, in this case a Chiyuv Halel, and not only a Chiyuv Halel, but a Chiyuv and Yontif Sheni of many different mitzvahs, whether it's Sukkah, whether it's Lulav, whether it's Matzah. And that justifies the brach insofar as the Kedush Sayom, once endowed in Yontif Sheni, now engenders a Chiyuv Mitzvah. And therefore we can recite Vitzivanu. That structure doesn't apply ki hu zeh to the case of Hal and Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh is devoid of Kedush Sayom. So what is the yisod, what fundamental premise underlies the analogy between Yontif Sheni Shel Golius and Rosh Chodesh with regard to Halel? Just to say that just like the minig of Yontif allows you to make a bracha, therefore the minig of Halel on Rosh Chodesh allow you to make a bracha, that's very, very difficult. So if our premise is correct, that we can justify Vitzivanu in the case of Yontif Sheni Shel Golius because of the Kedush Sayom that engenders these mitzvahs, whereas in the case of Rosh Chodesh, insofar as it's devoid of Kedush Sayom, there's nothing to justify a brach on Halel, the only superficial analogy here, which is again very technical and very difficult, doesn't have the power and the pungency of an inner logic. It's just some sort of, shall we say, a technical surface level equation, because a minug can engender a brach, and Halel on Rosh Chodesh is a bona fide minug. And that kium of a minug itself engenders a brach, as we see by Yontif Sheni, even though logically we could make a great distinction between the two. Now, we're going to just finish up our discussion by mentioning a very strange chiddush of Rabbi Kveg, which I'd love if we have B'li Neder the opportunity to get together again before the end of this month. I'd love to analyze this Rabbi Kveg. Rabbi Kveg in Sukkah in the Gilui Nashas says that Tosfos would seem to be emphasizing the bracha on the Kedush Sayom of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios in terms of Kiddush, in terms of Tefillah. There is a Kedush Sayom of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. In Chutzlarts, that is the nature of the day. The second day of Yontif has Kedush Sayom, and therefore we can recite Kiddush, and those brachas are justified. But Rabbi Kveg asks, what does that have to do with Alachilas Matzah or Alachilas Morar? In the second night of Pesach, we make brachas on matzah and maror. That's not because of the Kedush Sayom, that's because of the mitzvah. There is no mitzvah. It's all minig aval seichem bietchem. And again, in the framework of the understanding, the mindset of Rabbi Kveger, the only justification for making brachas on matzah and maror on Leila Pesach, he says, Ula yesh lechalik beinusach bracha b'loshen lasos beinusach b'loshen al, that these brachos with regard to matzah and maror respectively are benusach al, and that could be justified even though it's mishum minog. Masha'en kein in other mitzvahs where we require a bracha b'loshan lasos with a lamed, this is the sugyum sochem dav zayin, there minog would not be enough to justify the bracha. But Rabbi Kivega doesn't really give us a clue, any sort of insight. He's not even Megala Tefach as to why there should be a difference between this Nusach with a Lamed and this Nusach with an Al. What's so fundamental about that distinction that in one case we can justify a Bracha on a Minug, and in another case we cannot justify the Bracha on a Minug? Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop here.